Chapter 12 Jolly Sailor. There was sand around her, and white waves crashing, and water draining off the shingle, and sounding like an old woman sucking a hard mint.
"Crivens, where are we noo?" said Daft Willie.
"Aye, and why are we all looking like yellow mushrooms?"
Rob Anybody added. Tiffany looked down and giggled. Every Pixie was wearing a Jolly Sailor outfit, with an oilskin coat and a huge yellow oilskin rain hat that covered most of their faces. They started to wander about, bumping into one another.
"My dream," Tiffany thought. "The drome uses what it can find in your head, but this is my dream. I can use it."
Wentworth had gone quiet. He was staring at the waves. There was a boat pulled up on the shingle. As one Pixie, or small yellow mushroom, the Knack-Mack Feagles were flocking towards it and clambering up the sides.
"What are you doing?" said Tiffany.
"Best if we was leaving," said Rob Anybody. "It's a good dream you found us, but we canna stay here."
"But we should be safe here."
"Ach, the Queen finds a way in everywhere," said Rob, as 100 Pixies raised an oar. "Dinna fash yoursel. We know all about boats. Did you no see not totally wee Georgie Pike fishing wi' wee Bobby in the stream the other day? We isn't strangers to piscatorial and nautical arts, you ken."
And they did, indeed, seem to know about boats. The oars were heaved into the rollocks, and a party of Feagles pushed it down the stones and into the waves.
"Now you just hand us the wee bairn,"
shouted Rob Anybody from the stern. Uncertainly, her feet slipping on the wet stones, Tiffany waded through the cold water and handed Wentworth over. He seemed to think it was very funny.
"Wee wee mens,"
he yelled, as they lowered him into the boat. It was his only joke, so he wasn't going to stop.
"Aye, that's right," said Rob Anybody, tucking him under the seat. "Noo, you just bide there like a good boy and no yelling for sweeties, or Uncle Rob'll gee a scalpin' across the ear hole, okay?"
Wentworth chuckled. Tiffany ran back up the beach and hauled Roland to his feet. He opened his eyes and looked blearily at her.
What's happening?"
he said.
"I had a strange dream."
And then he shut his eyes again and sagged.
"Get in a boat,"
Tiffany shouted, dragging him across the shingle.
"Crivens, are we tugging this wee streak of uselessness?"
said Rob, grabbing Roland's trousers and heaving him aboard.
"Of course."
Tiffany hauled herself in afterwards and landed in the bottom of the boat as a wave took it. The oars creaked and splashed and the boat jerked forward. It jolted once or twice as more waves hit it, and then began to plunge across the sea. The Pixies were strong after all. Even though each oar was a battleground as Pixies hung from it or piled up on one another's shoulders or just heaved anything they could grasp, both oars were almost bending as they were dragged through the water. Tiffany picked herself up and tried to ignore the sudden, uncertain feeling in her stomach.
"Head for the lighthouse," she said. "Aye, I ken that," said Rob Anybody. "It's the only place there is, and the Queen Disney-like light."
He grinned.
"It's a good dream, lady. Have you no looked at the sky?"
"It's just a blue sky,"
said Tiffany.
"It's no exactly a sky,"
said Rob Anybody.
"Look behind you."
Tiffany turned. It was a blue sky. Very blue. But above the retreating beach, halfway up the sky, was a band of yellow. It looked a long way away and hundreds of miles across, and in the middle of it, looming over the world as big as a galaxy and grey-blue with distance, was a life belt. On it, but spelled backwards in letters larger than the moon, were the words R-O-L-I-A-S Y-L-L-O-J.
"We are in the label," said Tiffany.
"Oh, aye," said Rob Anybody.
"But the sea feels real. It's salty and wet and cold. It's not like paint. I didn't dream it's salty or so cold."
"Nay, kiddin'. Then it's a picture on the outside and it's real on the inside,"
Rob nodded.
"You ken, we've been robbing and running around in all kinds of worlds for a lang time, but I'll tell you this. The universe is a lot more complicated than it looks from the outside."
Tiffany took the grubby label out of her pocket and stared at it again. There was the life belt and the lighthouse, but the Jolly Sailor himself wasn't there. What was there, so tiny as to be little bigger than a dot on the printed sea, was a tiny rowing boat. She looked up. There were storm clouds in the sky, in front of the huge, hazy lifebelt. They were long and ragged, curling as they came.
"That didn't take her long to find her way in,"
muttered William.
"No," said Tiffany, "but this is my dream. I know how it goes. Keep rowing."
Tangling and tumbling, some of the clouds passed overhead and then swooped towards the sea. They vanished beneath the waves like a waterspout in reverse. It began to rain hard, so hard that a haze of mist rose over the sea.
"Is that it?" Tiffany wondered.
"Is that all she can do?"
"I doot it," said Rob Anybody.
"Bend them oars, lads."
The boat shot forward, bouncing through the rain from wave top to wave top. But against all normal rules, it was now trying to go uphill. The water was mounding up and up, and the boat washed backwards in the streaming surf. Something was rising. Something white was pushing the seas aside. Great waterfalls poured off the shining dome that climbed towards the storm sky. It rose higher, and still there was more. And eventually, there was an eye. It was tiny compared to the mountainous head above it, and it rolled in its socket and focused on the tiny boat.
"Now that's a he, that'll be a day's work even for Big Jan," said Rob Anybody. "I reckon we'd have to come back tomorrow. Row, boys!"
"It's a dream of mine," said Tiffany, as calmly as she could manage. "It's the whale fish." "I never dreamed a smell, though," she added to herself. "But here it is, a huge, solid, world-filling smell of salt and water and fish and ooze."
"What does it eat?"
Daft Woolly asked. "Ah, I know that," said Tiffany, as the boat rocked on the swell. "Whales aren't dangerous, because they just eat very small things."
"Row like the blazes, lads!" Rob Anybody yelled.
"How do you ken it only eats wee stuff?" said Daft Woolly, as the whale fish's mouth began to open.
"I paid a whole cucumber once for a lesson on beasts of the deep," said Tiffany, as a wave washed over them. "Whales don't even have proper teeth." There was a creaking sound, and a gust of fishy halitosis about the size of a typhoon, and the view was full of enormous, pointy teeth.
"Aye," said Woolly, "weel, no offence meant, but I dinny think this beastie went to the same school as ye."
The surge of water was pushing them away, and Tiffany could see the whole of the head now, and, in a way that she couldn't possibly describe, the whale looked like the Queen. The Queen was there somewhere. The anger came back.
"This is my dream," she shouted at the sky. "I've dreamed it dozens of times. You're not allowed in here, and whales don't eat people. Everyone who isn't very stupid knows that."
A tail the size of a field rose and slapped down on the sea. The whale shot forward. Rob Anybody threw off his yellow hat and drew his sword.
"Ach, weel, we tried," he said. "This wee beastie is going to get the worst bellyache there ever was." "I will cut your way out," shouted Daft Woolly.
"No, keep rowing," said Tiffany.
"It's ne'er been said that the Nac Mac Feagle turned her back on her foe," Rob yelled.
"But you're rowing facing backwards," Tiffany pointed out. The Pixie looked crestfallen.
"Oh, I hadn't thought of it like that," he said, sitting down again.
"Just row," Tiffany insisted. "We're nearly at the lighthouse." Grumbling, because even if they were facing the right way, they were still going the wrong way, the Pixies hauled on the oars.
"That's a great big heed he's got there, you ken," said Rob Anybody. "How big would you say that heed is, Gonagall?"
"Ach, I'd say it's very big, Rob," said William, who was with the team on the other oar.
"Indeed, I might commit myself to saying it's enormous."
"You'd go as far as that, would you?"
"Oh, aye, enormous is fully justified."
"It's nearly on us," Tiffany thought. "This has got to work. It's my dream. Any moment. Any moment now."
"And how near us would you say it is, then?"
asked Rob, conversationally, as the boat wallowed and jerked just ahead of the whale.
"That's a very good question, Rob," said William. "And I'd answer it by saying it's very close indeed."
"Any moment now," thought Tiffany. "I know Miss Tick said you shouldn't believe in your dreams, but she meant you shouldn't just hope." "Any moment now, I hope. He's never missed.
In fact, I'd go so far as to say exceedingly close," William began.
Tiffany swallowed and hoped that the whale wouldn't. There was only about 30 yards of water between the teeth and the boat. And then it was filled with a wooden wall that blurred as it went past, making a zip-zip-zip noise. Tiffany looked up, her mouth open. White sails flashed across the storm clouds, pouring rain like waterfalls. She looked up at rigging and ropes and sailors lined up on the spars and cheered. And then the stern of the jolly sailor's ship was disappearing into the rain and mist, but not before Tiffany saw the big, bearded figure at the wheel, dressed in yellow oilskins. He turned and waved just once before the ship vanished into the murk. She managed to stand up again as the boat rocked in the swell and yelled at the towering whale, "You've got to chase him. That's how it has to work. You chase him, he chases you. Granny Aching said so. You can't not do it and still be the whale fish. This is my dream, my rules. I've had more practice at it than you." "Big fishy!" yelled Wentworth. That was more surprising than the whale. Tiffany stared at her little brother as the boat rocked again. "Big fishy!" said Wentworth again. "That's right," Tiffany said, delighted. "Big fishy. And what makes it particularly interesting is that a whale isn't a fish. It is, in fact, a mammal, just like a cow." "Did you just say that?" said her second thoughts, as all the Pictses stared at her and the boat spun in the surf. "The first time he's ever said anything that wasn't about sweeties or wee-wee, and you just corrected him." Tiffany looked at the whale. It was having trouble. But it was the whale she'd dreamed about many times after Granny Aching had told her that story, and not even the Queen could control a story like that. It turned reluctantly in the water and dived in the wake of the Jolly Sailor's ship. "Big fishy gone," said Wentworth. "No, it's a mammal," Tiffany's mouth said before she could stop it. The Pictses were still staring at her. "It's just that he ought to get it right," she mumbled, ashamed of herself. "It's a mistake lots of people make." "You're going to turn into somebody like Miss Tick," said her second thoughts. "Do you really want that?" "Yes," said a voice, and Tiffany realised that it was hers again. The anger rose up joyfully. "Yes, I'm me. I am careful and logical, and I look up things I don't understand. When I hear people use the wrong words, I get edgy. I am good with cheese. I read books fast. I think. And I always have a piece of string. That's the kind of person I am." She stopped. Even Wentworth was staring at her now. He blinked. "Big water cow gone?" he suggested meekly. "That's right. Good boy," said Tiffany. "When we get home, you can have one sweet." She saw the massed ranks of the Nac-Mac Feagles still looking at her with worried expressions. "Is it okay with you if we get on?" said Rob Anybody, holding up a nervous hand. Before yon whale cow comes back." Tiffany looked past them. The lighthouse wasn't far. A little jetty stretched out from its tiny island. "Yes, please, sir, thank you," she said, calming down a bit. The ship and the whale had vanished into the rain, and the sea was merely lapping at the shore. A drome was sitting on the rocks with its pale, fat legs sticking out in front of it. It was staring out to sea and didn't appear to notice the approaching boat. "It thinks it's home," Tiffany thought. "I've given it a dream it likes." Pictses poured onto the jetty and tied up the boat. "Okay, we're here," said Rob Anybody. "We'll just chop yon creature's head off, and we'll be right out of here." "Don't," said Tiffany. "But leave it alone. Just leave it alone, all right? It's not interested." "And it knows about sea," she added to herself. "It's probably homesick for the sea. That's why it's such a real dream. I'd have never got it right by myself." A crab crawled out of the surf by the drome's feet and settled down to dream crab dreams. "It looks as though a drome can get lost in its own dream," she thought. "I wonder if it'll ever wake up." She turned to the Nac-Mac Feagles. "In my dream, I always wake up when I reach the lighthouse," she said. The Pictses looked up at the red and white tower, and as one Feagle drew their swords. "We dunna trust the Queen," said Rob. "She'll let you think you're safe, and just when you've dropped your guard, she'll leap out. She'll be waiting behind the door, you can bet on it. You'll let us go in first." It was an instruction, not a question. Tiffany nodded and watched the Nac-Mac Feagles swarm over the rocks towards the tower. Alone on the jetty, except for Wentworth and the unconscious Roland, she lifted the toad out of her pocket. It opened its yellow eyes and stared at the sea. "Either I'm dreaming or I'm on a beach," it said, "and toads don't dream." "In my dream they can," said Tiffany, "and this is my dream." "Then it is an extremely dangerous one," said the toad ungratefully. "No, it's lovely," said Tiffany. "It's wonderful. Look at the way the light dances on the waves." "Where are the notices warning people they could drown?" complained the toad. "No life belts or shark nets. Oh, dear, do I see a qualified lifeguard? I think not."
Supposing someone was to...
It's a beach, said Tiffany. Why are you talking like this?
I don't know, said the toad. Can you put me down, please? I feel a headache coming on.
Tiffany put it down, and it shuffled into some seaweed. After a while, she heard it eating something.
The sea was calm. It was peaceful.
It was exactly the moment anyone sensible should distrust.
But nothing happened. It was followed by nothing else happening.
Wentworth picked up a pebble from the shingle and put it in his mouth, on the basis that anything might be a sweetie.
Then, suddenly, there were noises from the lighthouse. Tiffany heard muffled shouts and thuds, and once or twice the sound of breaking glass. At one point there was a noise like something heavy falling down a long spiral staircase and hitting every step along the way.
The door opened. The Knack MacFeagles came out. They looked satisfied.
"Nay problemo," said Rob Anybody. "No one there."
"But there was a lot of noise."
"Oh, aye, we had to make sure," said Darth Willie.
"Wee wee men," shouted Wentworth.
"I'll wake up when I go through the door," said Tiffany, pulling Roland out of the boat. "I always have. It must work. This is my dream." She hauled the boy upright and turned to the nearest Feagle. "Can you bring Wentworth?"
"Aye."
"And you won't get lost or drunk or anything?" Rob Anybody looked offended.
"We ne'er get lost," he said. "We always ken where we are. It's just sometimes maybe we aren't sure where everything else is. But it's no our fault if everything else gets lost. The Knack MacFeagle are never lost."
"What about drunk?" said Tiffany, dragging Roland towards the lighthouse.
"We've ne'er been lost in our lives. Is that no the case, lads?" said Rob Anybody.
There was a murmur of resentful agreement.
"The words lost and Knack MacFeagle shouldn't he turn up in the same sentence?"
"And drunk?" said Tiffany again, laying Roland down on the shingle.
"Getting lost is something that happens to other people," declared Rob Anybody. "I want to make that point perfectly clear."
"Well, at least there shouldn't have been anything to drink in a lighthouse," said Tiffany. She laughed. "Unless you drank the lamp oil, and no one would dare do that."
The Pixies suddenly fell silent.
"What would that be, then?" said Darth Woolley in a slow, careful voice. "Would it be the stuff in a kind of big bottle kind of thingy?" "We're wee skull and crossbones on it," said Rob Anybody.
"Yes, probably, and it's horrible stuff," said Tiffany. "It'd make you terribly ill if you drank it."
"Really?" said Rob Anybody thoughtfully. "That's very interesting. What sort of ill would that be kind of thing?"
"I think you'd probably die," said Tiffany.
"We're already dead," said Rob Anybody.
"Well, you'd be very, very sick then," said Tiffany. She gave him a strong look.
"It's inflammable, too. It's a good job you didn't drink it, isn't it?"
Daft Woolley belched loudly. There was a strong smell of paraffin.
"Aye," he said.
Tiffany went and fetched Wentworth. Behind her she heard some muffled whispering as the Pixies went into a huddle.
"I told you the wee skull on it meant we shouldn't touch it. Big Jan said it showed it was strong stuff, and things are come to a pretty pass, ye ken, if people are going to leave stuff like that around where innocent people could accidentally smash the door down and leave the bars aside and take the big chain off of the cupboard and pick the lock and drink it."
"What's inflammable mean?"
"It means it catches fire." "Okay, okay, dinna panic. No belching, and none of yous is to tuck a leak anywhere near naked flames, okay? And act natural."
Tiffany smiled to herself. Pixies seemed very hard to kill. Perhaps believing you were already dead made you immune. She turned and looked towards the lighthouse door. She had never seen it opened in a dream. She'd always thought that the lighthouse was full of light, on the basis that on the farm the cowshed was full of cows and the woodshed was full of wood.
"All right, all right," she said, looking down at Rob Anybody.
"I'm going to carry Roland, and I want you to bring Wentworth."
"Don't you want to carry the wee lad?" said Rob. "Wee wee man," shouted Wentworth.
"You bring him," said Tiffany shortly.
She meant, "I'm not sure this is going to work, and he might be safer with you than with me. I hope I'm going to wake up in my bedroom. Waking up in my bedroom would be nice." Of course, if everyone else wakes up there too, there might be some difficult questions asked, but anything's better than the Queen. There was a rushing, rattling noise behind her. She turned and saw the sea disappearing very quickly. It was pulling back down the shore. As she watched, rocks and clumps of seaweed rose above the surf and then were suddenly high and dry.
Ah!
she said after a moment. It's all right. I know what this is. It's the tide. The sea does this. It goes in and out every day.
Aye?
Said Rob. Anybody?
Amazing. It looks like it's pouring a wire through a hole.
About 50 yards away, the last rivulets of seawater were disappearing over an edge, and some of the Pixies were already heading towards it. Tiffany suddenly had a moment of something that wasn't exactly panic. It was a lot slower and nastier than panic. It began with just a nagging little doubt that said, "Isn't the tide a bit slower?" The teacher, Wonders of the Natural World, One Apple, hadn't gone into much detail, but there were fish flapping on the exposed seabed, and surely the fish in the sea didn't die every day.
I think we'd better be careful, she said, trailing after Rob Anybody.
Why, it's near as though the water's rising, he said. When does the tide come back?
Not for hours, I think, said Tiffany, feeling the slow, nasty panic getting bigger. But I'm not sure of this.
Tons of time, then, said Rob Anybody.
They'd reached the edge, where the rest of the Pixies were lined up. A little bit of water still trickled over their feet, pouring down into the gulf beyond. It was like looking down into a valley. At the far side, miles and miles away, the retreating sea was just a gleaming line. Below them, though, were the shipwrecks. There were a lot of them. Galleons and schooners and clippers, masts broken, rigging hanging, hulls breached, lay strewn across the puddles in what had been the bay. The Knack Mac Feagles, as one Pixie, sighed happily.
Sunken treasure!
Aye, gold! Bullion! Jewels!
What makes you think they've got treasure in? Said Tiffany.
The Knack Mac Feagles looked amazed, as if she'd suggested that rocks could fly.
There's got to be treasure in them, said Daft Woolly. Otherwise, what's the point of letting them sink?
That's right, said Rob Anybody.
There's got to be gold in sunken ships. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth fighting all them sharkies and octopuses and stuff. Stealing treasure from the ocean's bed, that's about the biggest, best thieving ever.
And now what Tiffany felt was real, honest panic.
That's a lighthouse, she said, pointing. Can you see it? A lighthouse so ships don't run into the rocks, right?
Understand?
This is a trap made just for you. The Queen's still around.
Maybe we can go down and look inside one wee ship, said Rob Anybody meekly.
No, because, Tiffany looked up. A gleam had caught her eye.
Because the sea is coming back, she said.
What looked like a cloud on the horizon was getting bigger and glittering as it came. Tiffany could already hear the roar. She ran back up the beach and got her hands under Roland's armpits so that she could drag him into the lighthouse. She looked back, and the Pixies were still watching the huge, surging wave. And there was Wentworth, watching the wave happily and bending down slightly so that, if they stood on tiptoe, he could hold hands with two Feagles. The image branded itself on her eyes. The little boy and the Pixies, all with their backs to her, and all staring with interest at the rushing, glittering, sky-filling wall of water.
"Come on!" Tiffany yelled. "I was wrong. This isn't the tide. This is the Queen!"
Sunken ships were lifted up and spun around in the hissing mountain of surf.
"Come on!"
Tiffany managed to haul Roland across her shoulder and, staggering across the rocks, made it to the lighthouse door as the water crashed behind her. For a moment, the world was full of white light, and the snow squeaked underfoot. It was the silent, cold land of the Queen. There was no one around, and nothing to see except snow, and in the distance, the forest. Black clouds hovered over it. Ahead of her, and only just visible, was a picture in the air. It showed some turf and a few stones, lit with moonlight. It was the other side of the door back home. She turned round desperately.
"Please!" she shouted.
It wasn't a request to anyone special. She just needed to shout.
"Rob! William! Willie! Wentworth!"
Away towards the forest there was a barking of the grim hounds. "Got to get out," muttered Tiffany. "Got to get away." She grabbed Roland by the collar and dragged him towards the door. At least he slid better on snow. No one and nothing tried to stop her. The snow spilled a little way through the doorway between the stones and onto the turf, but the air was warm and alive with nighttime insect noises. Under a real moon,
under a real sky, she pulled the boy over to a fallen stone and sat him up against it. She sat down next to him, exhausted to the bone, and tried to get her breath back. Her dress was soaked and smelled of the sea. She could hear her own thoughts a long way off. They could still be alive. It was a dream, after all. There must be a way back. All I have to do is find it. I've got to go back in there. The dogs sounded very loud. She stood up again, although what she really wanted to do was sleep. The three stones of the door were a black shape against the stars. And as she watched, they fell down. The one on the left slipped over slowly, and the other two ended up leaning against it. She ran over and hauled at the tons of stone. She prodded the air around them in case the doorway was still there. She squinted madly, trying to see it. Tiffany stood under the stars alone and tried not to cry.
"What a shame," said the Queen. "You've let everybody down, haven't you?"